how you have gathered us together. We thank you for that which you have begun to do with us and in us. We are grateful because we know that you will finish your work in us. And it's because of this that we come to you this morning with a heart of gratitude. And we are saying thank you. Lord, we want to share in your word. We ask, Father, that you will open our hearts and give us understanding. Let your word that will come to us prosper us. It will not be another build-up of knowledge, but understanding will be fostered in our hearts, and we'll be blessed by it in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask that you take over and cause that your will alone be done in this meeting. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. All right, we're all welcome to another word encounter. It's a good thing to be able to speak for God. It's a real privilege. One of the greatest privileges any man will enjoy on earth is that you can speak for God. And this is why it becomes very important how you handle the opportunities you have to speak for God. So I'm grateful that I am standing in and speaking for God. You know, when our minister was speaking and talking about sons yesterday, he said sons are extensions of God. So when God wants to speak on earth, he will not thunder from heaven. He will come through his sons, and then he will speak through them. God may be speaking to sons through signs. He may be speaking to sons in dreams. But when he wants to speak to the crowd, what the son heard in the secret is what he brings to the congregation. And he stands as an oracle of the Lord, speaking the mind of God. So it's actually a big privilege to stand in and speak on behalf of God. And it's also very scary and sobering too. Because you know that when you speak for God, it also means that you will be accountable to God. You know, if you speak for man, you'll be accountable to men. But if you speak for God, you'll be accountable to God. And you know you can't guilt God. You can't come and begin to explain why you messed up before God, because he knows all things. You can talk some things away when you are explaining to man, but when you are standing before God, you can't do that. So standing in and speaking for God is a big thing. It's not a thing that people should wish to do. All right? If God is not asking you to go and speak, don't do it. Because a day is coming when you have to stand and give an account for every single time you did that. Amen. All right, that's not the topic. That's not what we're talking about. Today we are going to be speaking about two things, two short topics. So I'm going to take the first one and conclude. Then I'll take a second one. Amen. The first I'll be talking about is faith. What is it? Faith. You know, we are a group of persons whose lifestyle is hinged on our belief in a supreme God, the creator of all. But this God that we speak of, we have never seen him before. So the only way we interact with this God is by faith. I'm already answering my question, right? What is faith? And the reason I'm doing this, it's because there's a notion outside there that seems to make us want to believe that faith is what you use to receive things from God. Such that whenever you are not receiving from God, you don't have faith. So if you are sick, you want to be healed, the preacher tells you you need faith. You are broke, you want money in your pocket, the preacher tells you you need faith. It now looks as though faith is something that we begin to scout for whenever we have a need. But is that all that faith is? That is the reason for this discussion. What exactly is faith? What is faith? We're going to take our first reading from Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Now, I'm doing this short reading so that I can manage my time and be able to cover a bit. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Alright, you know the script. This verse I just read, it's not a scripture, a verse that can stand alone. It actually began with "for daring." So the question will be, in what is daring? Alright, that is not what we are talking about. So that is why I'm leaving that out. But the apostle began, Apostle Paul began to speak about the gospel. Say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for in it is the power of God. He says it's first of all revealed to the Jews and then eventually to the Gentiles. He now continued and got to this verse of interest and said, for daring. For daring is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written. The just shall live by faith. So what is faith? It's a commodity that is accessible only to the just. Only. Only. The scripture says it emphatically. It says the just shall live by faith. So if you find a man who is not a just man and he's doing something that looks like faith and he's receiving, what that person is doing, what that person possesses is not faith. Faith. Before you begin to look for faith, the first thing you look out for is to search whether the man that is standing right in front of you is a just man. Because if the man is not a just man, then forget about faith. It says, the just shall live by faith. So that is the first thing I want to establish this morning. That faith is not for everybody. Faith is a commodity that is exclusively reserved for the just. And if you must be called a just man, that means you are a son. So, the question would then be, what about people who don't know God, but who come into the church, and then they do something, and they get a response? How did they get it? All right. And this is the reason why I'm going to have to differentiate between principles. Principles of life. Principles that govern existence and faith. Principles are general. They are open to anyone. You don't need to know God for you to operate a principle. For instance, we know what the law of gravity states. Whatever goes up, it will come down, and it's because there's a force that pulls towards the center of the earth. So, you don't need to be a child of God for gravity to work on you. Alright? And if I'm saying that, it may sound very bogus, and you'll be wondering, how does gravity and receiving come in this talk? But I'm going to come to the one that we are all very conversant with, the very popular one that we have in church. Seed time and harvest. Sow, so you can reap. The fact that you sow and then you reap does not mean that you have faith. It is only a proof that you obey the principle. It is a universal law. You don't need faith for you to sow and reap. All you need is obedience. Obey that principle. However, we are children of God, and our lives is not first of all controlled by principles. What controls our life is faith in God. So an unbeliever can enter into a church And then when it is time to give, the unbeliever comes and then he gives generously. And then he returned the next week and give a testimony. How that I gave 5,000 naira and I return home and I have received tenfold. And you know what we will do normally? We will shout, praise the Lord. But this unbeliever is still an unbeliever. Amen. The fact that you did something and you get a result is not a proof of it. This is now becoming very expedient that it be cleared and be well explained to Christians in our days. Now that we have plenty faith. And when you tell people and say, don't you see that this man is not just? Don't you see that there is wickedness in this man? Don't you see that this person is not following the injunctions of our God? This person is not living by faith. The question you will hear is, so then, all these miracles that are happening, how are they happening? They will ask you, I went there, I had problem. And when I joined that commission, my problems were solved. So, what proof do you have to tell that this person, what this person is doing, is not right? And this is one of the reasons why it becomes important to listen to such teaching. This type of teaching. To know that results is not what we seek. The fact that a man has results does not mean that this man is approved of the Lord. And it does not mean that the man is living by faith. This man have just built a 10,000 seater auditorium in 6 months. And then you say, he's not a man of faith. And then he come on the stage and then he tells you how he never borrowed 1 naira. The money kept coming. And then when they want to confuse you, they will say, the Lord kept providing. The Lord kept providing. The Lord kept providing. And obviously, there was provision. Because the project is obvious. We all can see it. Something is rising. And if that kind of edifice must rise, it is because money is going into it. And so, that now become our proof of faith in God. Results. What I can see. What I get. When I put in an effort. But that is not faith. And that is not how we are called to live. We are just people. And we are to live by faith. I'm trying to explain what faith is. What faith is not. Faith is not principles. Faith is not principles. And living by principles and having the results that will normally come by obeying such laws and principles is not a proof of faith. Amen. This is why we have a Dangote in Nigeria. He does not know God. This is why we don't have any tongue-talking Christian that is on the top 3 of the world's richest men. These men understood principles. And because they understood these principles, they apply them. And it works. However, what they have is not faith. So I can stand on a platform like this, and then I teach you principles. And you leave this place, and you apply those principles, and you sure will get results. And because you are getting results, you now look down on a man who also wanted to apply that same principle. But because of faith in God, God himself told him, don't apply it. Yes, he knows the principle. He can teach it. He knows that if I apply this principle, the result that I want will come. However, while he attempted applying those principles, the principles are not sin. They are not wrong. They are okay. But he wanted to apply the principle. And God stepped in and said, no, don't do this. I'm going to give us such example. You are in Lokoja, for instance. And you are earning 15,000 naira where you work. And you have a friend in Lagos that tells you, just come over to Lagos. And there's a ready-made job that will pay you 70,000 naira. Normally, there's no sin in this. It did not say pay bribe. It did not say give bribe. It did not say bribe anybody. No. Even you're moving from Lokoja to Lagos does not mean that you will not keep following God. It's a principle. You relocate from a place where your service is not needed to a place where your service is appreciated. And you know that if your services are appreciated, you will get paid. Nice principle. However, when you wanted to take that move, because you are a just man and you live by faith, God now stepped in and said, no, don't go. Do you know what would happen to someone who had that same opportunity and he jumped at it? And then by the next year, he came to visit and then he's driving a car. Both of you are Christians. Both of you are tongue-talking. None of you is a backslider yet. But one has walked by faith, by obeying God. The other one have walked by obeying principles. And the principles is giving results. And the man who is obeying principles is the one that will be seen outside there as the man of faith. So if the person who is in Lokoja and can't change his shoe because he spent 15,000 naira and yet obeying God, stand and begin to encourage people and say, it is good to live by faith. The question that will be asked him is, since you have been living by faith, show us what your faith has produced. Then if the man who understood principle jumped at the principle without consulting God, decide to come and give such a counsel too, and says, I did this, and I got this result. People flock towards such man. This is why some churches are not filled, while other churches are filled and having overflows. And at the end of the day, you go to those churches and you discover that the people that crowded that place, they don't know God. However, there is results. Amen. So what is faith? Faith is the commodity that God gives to the just so they can live. That is how we live. Every time you are living, and that life that you are living is a just one, that is faith at work. Amen. The just shall live. How? By faith. So it is not the just shall receive a blessing by faith. It is not the just shall be healed by faith. It is not the job we get a job. The just will get a job by faith. No, it is not the just will become blessed by faith. It is that the just will live by faith. And what does living entail? It means every single thing that you do. Every single thing that you do. So that anything you are doing at all that is not of faith, the scripture says is a sin. We are called to something more serious than what we have in our world today. However, it has been difficult for us to separate the holy things from profane things. And it now becomes even more difficult when what you have to differentiate between, it's not a sin in itself. They are just naive principles, benign principles, principles that are just there. It's not good and it's not wrong. Amen. So, the way we live is by faith. So, if you are in this hall today and what you are doing here is pleasing to God, what you are exercising is faith. Hallelujah. Right? I'm saying this so that you will be encouraged. And not look down on yourself. She would say, ah, just say I have faith. I have faith. But I'm not getting the result. No, no, no. The way we live, every living, every step we take, if we take a step that pleases the Lord, that step is a step taken in faith. So, if you preach to an unbeliever and the Lord is pleased, that preaching is a step taken in faith. If you took a job that pleases the Lord, taking that job, it's a step taken in faith. By it is not just when I want to receive from God. No. It is not just when I have a need. No. It is how I live my life in a way that pleases God. You know, the scripture says it is God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if I am willing and I am doing of God's good pleasure, what I am doing pleases the Lord, right? And then when we now come to Romans, he says, the way they just live is by faith. That means God working in me to will and to do. It's faith at work. Am I saying obeying principles is wrong? No. What I'm saying is that we need to be able to clarify and distinguish principles from faith. Anybody can operate principles. Anybody. You don't need to have known God. You don't need to believe in God. You only need to know what is constant and know what the variable is. And you, if you know how to properly manipulate both the constant and the variable, manipulate variable around the constant, there will be a result. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The part I'm interested in again is that without faith, you can't please God. That means whenever you are pleasing God, what do you have? Faith. Yes. Faith is not so scarce the way we have made it to see. Every time you can please God, it is because you have faith. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, if I am pleasing him, I have faith. What proves that I have faith is not my result. What proves that I have faith is that I am pleasing God. So, if while I am pleasing God, results are coming, and those results are also pleasing God, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means with faith, you will please God. So, faith is that commodity that is handed over to man by God so that he can please him. It is not what we use to receive from God. If pleasing God, if receiving from God also mean, I mean, if receiving from God pleases the Lord, then what is at work is faith. But faith is not all about just getting things from God. It is not. It is not. It is not. Importantly for us is that we are people that are called to please God. That is our life. That is the hallmark of sons. That is the hallmark. The greatest expectation of God from anyone that is called a son is that he pleases him. If a man can please God, then he is a man of faith. Amen. This is how I'm going to conclude this session, and then I'll begin the second topic. Is that you will discover that there are men today that we don't know. There are men that we don't celebrate. But when you get close to them and they handle your matter, you know that it is solved.
I mean that when they speak, people don't fall. That's what I'm saying. So when they put up a program like this, people will not come. But if you ever have a need, and you have the privilege of meeting with them, and they decide to give you their time, that is solved. Meanwhile, you have visited many other places where you have fallen and risen many times. And this same issue remains. You do know the person who is a man of it is that man that is not celebrated. Is it wrong to see power move? It is not. However, there are principles that if you follow, power will move. Yes. I'm saying that you don't necessarily have to please God for power to move. You don't. There are principles. You don't necessarily have to please God for you to gather a large crowd. There are principles. And that is why we have seminars today that teaches people how to gather crowd. And if you follow those principles, you will have results. But is your result pleasing to God? Is God pleased with what you are doing? That is the question I'm going to end this session with. Is God pleased with what you are doing? If God is pleased with that step that you are taking now, you are a man of it. Don't be intimidated. Don't be discouraged. Just keep pleasing God. Just keep pleasing God. And when it is God's time to lift you, He will. Amen. All right. I'm going to just dash straight into the other topic. And this I have titled, Praying in the Name of Jesus, the Benefit of Songs. Amen. How many of us here knows what it means to pray in the name of Jesus? I actually want a feedback. I want someone to tell me what he or she understand by praying in Jesus' name. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Or how do we pray in Who is going to give me that response? When I started this talk, I prayed, right? How did I begin? I said, in Jesus' name, right? And then when I finished, how did I finish? In Jesus' name I have prayed. Does that mean that I have prayed in Jesus' name? All right, that is the question we want to answer. Amen. Because, again, these are some of the things that are used to confuse people. You say, this man is not right with God. They say, but he's calling Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Verse 13 to 14. Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. You know, if you have ever had any form of education at all, any form, maybe primary, secondary, university, whichever, when you enrolled, you have something in view. There's something you want to achieve. So if it's a tertiary institution, for instance, maybe a university, what you would want to get is usually maybe a BSc in your line of study or whatever it is called. But there is something that you want to get. That is why you enrolled. But while the process is going, you'll be learning many things. Do you know what happens to... What do you think happens to a man who, although enrolled in a school, and he began, he attended lectures, but never took the final exams? Will he graduate with the certificate in view? he will not. But has the man learnt anything? He has, yes. This is the problem we have today. Is that we have many people that are enrolled and have learned things, but who never graduated, who is standing and speaking for God. Yeah. He's an engineer, for instance. If he supervises, say, a building work, and we discover a fault, let's say a major fault, you know, one of the first things we want to check is that we want to be sure if he's a certified engineer. If we discover that he is a certified engineer and then there is fault, the way to handle it is different. If we discover that he was never certified, the way to handle it is different. Praying in the name of Jesus, I said it is the benefits of sons. Sons can pray in the name of Jesus only. I know I sound controversial. So what have I been doing when I started my prayer? In Jesus' name. And I ended it with, in Jesus' name I have prayed. But the question I will ask you also is, haven't you noticed that there are men who don't even pray? You came to them and you are trying to explain your problem. They will not even allow you to explain. They did not even hear what your problem is. They don't even know what your problem is. And to worsen thing, they will not even pray. They will just do like this. You are blessed. And the problem you did not tell them will be solved. Did they say in Jesus' name? Did they? Because for most of us, we think just because I said in Jesus' name when I began the prayer, and I said in Jesus' name I have prayed when I finished praying, it then mean that I have prayed to God and God have heard. But it's not true. My sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. The voice of a hireling, they will not listen to, right? So if you are not a sheep and you are calling on him, do you think he will hear you? Do you know that there are persons calling and probably shouting your name? Maybe by that roadside now. My name is Emmanuel, and I'm inside here. If I hear somebody shouting, Emmanuel, Emmanuel there, I won't respond. You know why? I'm not expecting anybody from that place to call me. I don't know him. Meanwhile, one of the greatest ways to represent God is to have the ability to pray in Jesus' name. In fact, that seems to me to be the highest of all of the levels of the benefits that we have in God, is that you can pray in the name of Jesus. So what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? I'm going to read John 14:14. It says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So how do I ask in the name of Jesus? The question I'm going to ask again is, are there times that you have asked things in the name of Jesus the way you know it to be and you didn't receive? Are there times? So is that to say that this scripture is not true? We know the person speaking, right? This is Jesus himself. And he said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we all agree that we have moments when we have asked things, beginning our prayer with in Jesus' name, right? And ending it with in Jesus' name, I have prayed. And then by the time we are done, he did not do it. So what happened? What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? And I said, this is one of the benefits of sons. Only sons can do this. Only sons. And you know that we have children around. But which of us here will send his 4-year-old child to go and represent him in a business meeting? Is there anybody here that will do that? Why? No, let me get a response. Why? Is that? It's not matured. Okay. Do I have another response? I think that seems to be the summary. He's not matured. That was why I told that story, that illustration I gave earlier, that it is possible to enroll and not graduate. The fact that you have enrolled does not mean that you have everything. Because most of us, we just think that because I have enrolled, it doesn't mean that I can pray in the name of Jesus. It's true, and it's not true. Because actually to pray in the name of Jesus means that you are able to stand where Jesus is standing. You can stand for Jesus. That is the meaning. If somebody is standing in my name, what is the person doing? The person is me. I'm not there. He's representing me. That is actually what it means when he says, if you ask anything in my name. Yes. So whenever you are standing and representing him, anything you say, he will do it. Anything. However, when you are representing yourself, there are many things you will say, although you will begin the prayer in Jesus' name and end it in Jesus' name, I have prayed. And you will not receive it. Hallelujah. This is why it is important to grow as sons. I'm not saying just become born again. I mean grow to becoming a son. So that God can be in heaven. And then when he wants to do something on earth, he will send you. And then you will now stand in his name. And anything you say will happen. Amen. Anything. You know, I've listened to people say, when they pick this verse, and then they will ask you, what is the meaning of anything? And then the people will respond, anything. And you know, some other translation says, whatsoever. Whatsoever. They will say, what is whatsoever? It means whatsoever. And this is the scripture we use to preach faith. Just believe and you can have whatsoever. But it's not true. It's not true. Whatsoever can be gotten by anyone that is standing in, that is standing on the behalf of God. The word of God will never fall to the ground. Such that anyone that is standing for him, that person's word too, as long as the person is standing for God, his word will not fall to the ground. But when that man steps out of standing for God, step out of that locale, that location, and begin to speak for himself, he will speak bogus things and say very mighty things, but they will not happen. It is not because he is not speaking the way he spoke some days ago. It is because now he is not speaking in the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The question you will ask yourself is, why is the righteous outside of the tower? Because it is possible for you to be righteous and be outside the name of the Lord. It is not when you are in trouble that you run into it. However, those who can ask anything in the name of the Lord, and God will respond, are those that are in Him. So to ask anything in the name of the Lord is to be standing on behalf of the Lord. So the action you are about to take, that you are calling the name of Jesus, is that what God wants to do? Is that the will of God? Is God interested in what you are interested in? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, the scripture says, For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there in the midst, I am there in the midst of them. But it's obvious today that Matthew chapter 6, I was talking about what we popularly call the Lord's Prayer. It says, these people pray and talking, and God is not involved in the conversation. You are not praying. In the context of what I'm speaking of, you are not praying. You are talking to yourself. You are soliloquizing, actually. You are speaking out loud. Because what the scripture says in 1 John is that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. All right? So prayer begins when there is fellowship between me and him. So I can decide to set my alarm and said, I want to pray for 1 hour. And I have been there for 1 hour and God has not come. I have not prayed. I have not prayed. And this is why it becomes very important that we be men of faith. That we don't just live by faith. I've defined what that is. We don't just live by faith at some times, and then at other times, we live by other things. If we live like that, there will be days when you will think you want to pray to God. And after you have spent all the time you want to spend, God is not around. He has not come. You have not prayed. You would have shouted in Jesus' name, shouted Holy Spirit, shouted Holy Ghost. Many times, but he's not there. Because it is when we have fellowship one with another. That is prayer. It is having fellowship with God. If I speak to him, he responds. He may not necessarily even have to speak. It may just mean that I know that he's around. And that is enough. Fellowship has begun. But what do you think will happen to that righteous man that only run into the strong tower when he's in trouble? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The righteous, when he comes into that tower, he's supposed to remain there. So, the psalmist said, they that abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, praying in the name of Jesus is reserved for only the persons who are abiding. Only. It does not matter what their results look like. They can't do it. They are not standing for God. In Genesis chapter 1, let's see it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. If you are there, please read. Genesis chapter 1, read verse 26. Hallelujah. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. And over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. God made man. And then he gave him dominion. And do you know how man will exercise this dominion? It's by dwelling somewhere. Before now, God had planted a garden. And then he now brought man and placed him in the garden. So as long as man is in the garden, he will naturally fulfill God's mandate. Naturally, without struggle. As long as he is in that place. And what happened to us is that we lost this connection. So the garden was withdrawn. All right, that is the way I want to put it. God withdrew the garden. And then, you know that the garden of Eden is not the same as earth. I hope we are aware. The Bible says God planted a garden in the east. After God had created the heaven and the earth, it was after he created heaven and the earth that he now located a tiny place in the east and planted the garden there. So the garden is not synonymous to earth. No, it's just a locale, a position, a place on earth that God decided to say, this is where I will put my name. This was the same thing that the Old Testament saints have been trying to repeat. When they say, let us build a tabernacle, let us build a temple, they are trying to find a place where God can come. So where God and man met before the fall was in the Garden of Eden. However, men fell. And when we fell, we lost that place. And because we lost that place, we no longer could operate this mandate. However, God is still in the business of ensuring that this mandate is fulfilled. And that is why he sent his son to come and die for us. After Jesus came, whosoever believes in Jesus does not need to return to Eden. Eden comes to him. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 12. It says, let's read it. John chapter 1 verse 12. Okay, as many as receive him, he gave power to become the sons of God. While the minister, it's okay, you can sit down, thank you. While the minister was ministering day before yesterday, he read from Luke chapter 3, and he traced the genealogy of Adam until where it was concluded that Adam was the son of God, right? And where was the son of God placed? In a garden. Amen. 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 All right. And now, the scripture says, as many as believed in him, he gave them power to become what? Sons of God. That means by believing in Jesus, right? Every single benefit that Adam had before he fell is what you will now have. Because you are now a son. The same way he was a son. Amen. However, we are not in Eden now. Amen. We are currently not in Eden. So how are we to exercise the mandate that God gave us? Because that mandate that God gave man has a location attached to it. As soon as man stepped out of that location, he couldn't fulfill it again. Why? When man was in Eden, he couldn't die. Satan was around, hope you know. But Satan couldn't touch him. He couldn't kill him. Because he was in a place. He couldn't die. No animal could attack him. It was impossible. Because he was in a place. The place where God have decided to put his name, his presence. And when we believe in Jesus and submit to him as our Lord, that is what God restores to us. I'm still talking about praying in the name of Jesus. Because what we are called to do is nothing different from that initial mandate. We don't have two different mandates. Right away, the mandate that we should operate is the same mandate that was given to Adam. That was why when Noah came out of the flood and he raised an altar to the Lord, it was the same mandate that he repeated, that God repeated to him. When Jesus came and said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is the same mandate. Because the mandate that God gave to Adam in that place was to replenish the earth, is to multiply and fill it. They were to extend the presence of God from that small location to the whole earth. And that's what we are also saddled with today. But we don't have an Eden. And if we have been restored, then there must have been a restoration of Eden too. And I make bold to say to us that that also was restored. Sorry, let me look for a scripture so that I will not just be talking. Oh, Jesus, help me. All right, Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. I'm going to read. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, all right? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Right? He said, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That thing that God did and planted in a place and put man in it, what God did to us now in our time, is that he has decided not to choose a place. He has decided to choose you and put that kingdom in you. So, if truly God is your Lord and you have submitted yourself to him, that original mandate that was given is the same mandate that you should be establishing. The same. So the kingdom of God that is now locked up in you, you are to give it expression and begin to fill the earth with that kingdom in you. It is not meant for just you. The same way that Eden was not meant for just them. Eden was meant for the whole earth. The whole earth. And you know the scripture says, it said the knowledge of the Lord, it will fill the earth as waters covers the sea. That's the same mandate that God has given to us now. It is to fill the earth the same way that Adam was to multiply and replenish the earth. That is the same mandate that we have now. However, the only way to do that is that we are also in a location, the kind of location where Adam was when that mandate was handed over to him. For Adam, it was Eden. For us, it is the name of the Lord. Amen. So when you are standing in the name of the Lord, you can extend the kingdom of God. And this is what Satan is fighting. He wants to do every single thing to make sure that you don't know who you are. That was what he did to Adam. Satan does not have new styles. He does not have new style. It's the same old pattern. It's just that pattern always works. It works.
He wants you to not know who you are. And then if by any means at all you know who you are, he wants to make sure that he corrupts the real thing. So that when you are multiplying, when you are extending and trying to fill the earth with the kingdom of God that is in you, you are not just going to be filling the earth with the kingdom of God. You are going to be filling the earth with mixtures. And the definition of sin in itself is actually corruption. That is what Satan seeks. And this is the reason why God intentionally created a place and called the name of the Lord. Such that when you are now in him, then they were in Eden, the place where the presence of God is. Satan could penetrate. Because God was not always in Eden. The scripture tells us that. The Bible says, in the cool of the day, the Lord came. Right? And then he called. That means he was not there. However, for us now, that same mistake that happened, that led to the sin, that led to that fall, the way for God to correct it is that now he placed you in a place where he is always available. Always. Your own duty is to remain. So when you are standing in that position, when you are standing in Jesus, then anything at all that you ask will be yours. The same way that Adam had no need for anything. I mean, there was no need. Every need was met. That is exactly what will happen to us too. The reason why this thing has not been our reality is because we do not have the ability yet to always remain in the name of the Lord. So there are times when we are in him. There are other times when we are not in him. And because of this possibility, the whole expanse of the possibilities that are locked up in dwelling in the name of the Lord is not made available to us. However, we know that a day come very soon when immortality, when mortality will put on immortality, and then we'll be able to express this in its fullness. Then lion, you will see lion and you will play with the head, and it won't be able to do you anything. Then, you know where we are going to be dwelling then? We are going to be living in God. Amen. The scripture says, by him all things consist, right? So, praying in the name of Jesus, it is the sole responsibility of sons. And not just that you are a son, it is that you are in him. And like I've said, if God is not sending you on an error, and you decide to go on yourself, you will not have the reward, the result of God. I think it's in Obadiah. Am I right? Where the scripture says, the feeble among you will be as David. It now says the house of David will be as God. The question I think you have not asked yourself is, what is the house of David? The feeble amongst you will be as strong. And he was speaking about a day that will come. Those are the days that we are actually approaching. The feeble among you will be as David, be as strong as David, and the house of David will be as God. Because what God is aiming for is that we get to a point where human being can stand and speak, and it will be God speaking. Amen. The person speaking is not God, is man. You know him. However, when he speaks, the voice you hear is the voice of God.
There are persons that touch these things in the scriptures. Someone like Elijah, he will come and say, by my word. You know, when the prayer session was on, our brother quoted and read about the story of Saul's voyage. And do you hear what Saul says? He says, the angel of the Lord appeared to me, whose I am and whom I serve. Men can speak as God. But this will only happen when these men are speaking on God's behalf. When they are speaking in the name of Jesus. When they are speaking in the capacity of Jesus. It is not just speaking that is important. It is in whose name you are speaking. Because it is possible for you to be speaking in your name. And it is possible for you to be speaking in the name of a spirit. And this is why you will have results many times. Because if I continue to speak in the name of a spirit, that spirit will help me. And I don't even need to invite him. Yes. The only spirit that speaking in his name does not necessarily guarantee his appearing is God. That is the only spirit. You can go and be speaking in the name of God. If God is not interested, he will not come. But every other spirit, if you call their name, they will come. The reason is because they have a lack, a want for space. So they are looking for where to possess, where to handle. So once they call them, they will quickly come. There's an opportunity here for us to expand. But God is not in a business of losing a game. He's not afraid of losing. So he does only what he wants. So you can be speaking for him, but if you are not standing in him, he will not come. Hallelujah. So, like I said, we have been restored already. We have been restored to where Adam fell from. For us to begin to blame Adam now for the sin that he sinned is because we are ignorant. Amen. What we are now, if we are following God correctly, is better than what Adam was. The temptation that Adam faced then, that he fell, is what you are facing now. Hope you know. And this is the reason why God will be just when he punishes any man. No man will come and say, after all, I did not sin. Is it not Adam that brought sin into the world? And by nature, I became a sinner. And if my nature is the nature of sin and I sin, should anybody blame me? I'm not the one that made my... I did not make myself. And I was not even there when Adam sinned. Adam fell, and then the nature became the nature of sin. And now I am sinning. Are you going to blame me for sinning? Yes, you'll be blamed. It's because of what Jesus has done. He has restored us to that place where Adam fell from. However, just like the story I told when I began, that it is possible for you to begin to enroll in a course and not finish. So we all have returned to that place where we have now enrolled again. The work that God began to do with Adam that he couldn't finish before sin was introduced, God is now continuing that work. However, the same way that Satan tempted Adam, Satan will also come and tempt us. And it will now be up to us to either decide to stand for God or to not stand for God. And if we refuse to stand for God, we cannot blame Adam. Because I am by my will now not standing. It is not because of the nature any longer. It is because of my will. My will may be weak, that is true. However,
There is a way to strengthen my will. It is that I learn the economy of the name of Jesus. And whatever I know, that means that I am standing in that name is what I will do. And that is where I can speak as an oracle and say anything at all and it will happen. Anything. So that scripture is not a scripture to claim things from God. John 14:14. Ask anything in my name. No, it's not a scripture to claim things from God. It's a scripture to tell you that there's a position that God wants you to stand. And when you are in that place, anything that is possible in God is also possible for you. Can we rise? Can we just tell the Lord to help us? Can we ask Him for help? Many times we've asked for things and we have not received. And the reason we did not receive is what we are discussing now. It's because of our position while we're asking. The man who is in the name of God, who is living in the name of God, is a man that is sold to doing only the will of God. Only. And by the time you are doing the will of God, God will support His will. Can we ask the Lord for help? That we will be men of faith. We will not give up. We will live by faith. The Lord will help us to understand this position that is called the name of the Lord. And it will help us to dwell in it. Thank you, Father. Can you tell the Lord that He will help you to enjoy everything that has been given to you because of Jesus? The reason we can have healing today, the reason we can have deliverance is because Jesus already did them. And if one person can be healed, it also means that everybody can be healed. The reason everybody is not healed is what we are discussing about. Can you speak to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you to dwell perpetually in this name? So that when you ask a thing, anything at all, it will be done. Anything. Anything. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.